The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a day. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. Group 1 racing returns. We're going to Royal Randwick tomorrow. We're in March, so autumn has officially started. Looking forward to the upcoming races for the Carnival, Ray. As I bring in to you, how'd you see this meeting? Soft five to kick off. Forecast as we always know it, who knows, but it should be okay.
Yeah, who knows. Look, you'd anticipate a good track, wouldn't you?
Yep.
I mean, surely the forecast, like, what was it, 0 to 8? There's a big difference between
each way all day.
Look, I mean, Randwick's been we've been fortunate enough over the past couple of months to have generally a consistent weather pattern, so the track's held up pretty well. So, you know, you're going into the Autumn Carnival expecting Randwick to be at its best, regardless of whether it's wet or dry. And
yeah, I think just off fence again, and it's going to play quite fair.
Potentially. What have we got? A midway to kick off over 1,100 metres, so that'll tell us a little bit, won't it? And then we've got a highway in race three. So, look, I think if we don't get any rain and Mike Wood puts up a good four, I think they'll probably take the punt and stay on the fence until it's proven otherwise.
Yep.
But as we know, it's really tricky to try and second guess what a track's going to do until you see what happens. But yeah, look, overall, a lot of short price favourites.
Yeah, it's one of those days where the punter's just going to go bang, 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 or is it going to be... Well, they're only probably going to have to get one beat, because I suspect there's going to be a lot of multis riding through, the likes of Stormboy, Fangirl, who we'll talk about soon. I do think there's a couple of races where we can get some value, but let's kick off with the Group 1 Wait for Age Tab Very Elegant Stakes to kick off the podcast. What did you do with Fangirl? Two's on $1.50. Is that fair enough? Could you find an angle in the race? Could you look elsewhere? How did you see it?
The only chink in Fangirl's armour would be if we got a ridiculous amount of rain and the track happened to be bordering on heavy. My little description of her win last start as being Winx-like's got a little bit of mileage since then, despite being slapped down a little bit by Mr. Radley, who has backtracked, thankfully, since then to concede it was a little bit Winx-like in the way that she just sidled up to them.
Yeah.
In the Apollo Stakes and had gone a couple of lengths in front before James McDonald even asked. And look, you know, nobody is suggesting that Fangirl is Winx or is the next Winx or is going to string 30 wins together on end from now. But look, if she turns up in the same way, you know, $1.50, you would expect her to win. We're down to a field of 9 with a tissue being scratched. Look, it's just going to be interesting to see how J-Mac plays this race. Does he go right back? Does he use the long straight there at the Randwick Mile to just see what happens and see if he can slot in front of one or two?
Yep.
But, you know,
she's adaptable.
All things being equal, she's clearly the horse to beat. I mean, I don't think I'm telling anybody anything. You know, I think you'd feel the same way.
Yeah, look, I can't add too much more. We all saw it. Look, from a figures perspective, you're looking at it that way. That's her best first up run out of her whole career, not too far off her peak. So I think this is her preparation where we're going to see the best of Fangirl. You don't need me to tell you that the way she won first up. I think she's a genuine $1.50 chance. Maybe the angle in the race, if you don't want to take the $1.50, Lindemann a place. It's around that $2.50 mark. So if you wanted to lean that way, and obviously I always say it to everyone, right, just have something small on the winning case, Lindemann. But I'm tipping Fangirl. I think she's hard to beat.
Just quickly, I mean, how is this race going to be run? Because just fine, barrier 2, first up at a mile, you would imagine he probably leads.
Mm.
Think it over, drawn barrier 3, you would imagine also not too far away. Now, as far as Fangirl goes, you'd imagine she's in front of Athabascan in the run. And potentially Cascadian goes back.
Yep.
It could be tricky if you let a horse like Think It Over have 3 or 4 lengths head start on a sprint home.
Yep. No, I can see.
And maybe that's just trying to find.
Yeah, you got to. That's some that's kind how you gotta of look at it.
Of negative there, but
I suppose the map is the only other negative, as you're alluding to, and Yeah, $1.50 horses that get back like that. It's not a betting proposition for me purely on that basis. But I think all she has to do is what she did first up, and there's every chance she could improve.
Absolutely.
They won't see which way she goes. But my thinking is that Lindemann's going to go straight to the front or sit outside leader tomorrow. Take no prisoners. This is Lindemann's chance.
Well, if Lindemann does that, is that J-Mac opportunity to follow him across and try and land, you know, fourth or fifth with cover?
Yeah, I think that's a fair enough point. But then he won't want to. He's got the thing about Ramic 1600. You've got that whole, as you said, the back shoot. You've got so much time to make options. It's like the Doncaster. You can draw barrier 24. You can win.
Doncasters are a bit different, but field of nine though. So.
But I mean, like tactically, it's a tactical affair. But if James McDonald's on, I don't really care because he'll work it out. That's how I view it. But I think she'll probably just go back, settle, adapt to the race, and then just charge home and be awfully hard to beat. But I think we're on the same page there. Seems like everyone's on the same page. Very hard to beat Fangirl. And look, really, I hope she does put them away with a bit of ease so we can, it's a bit of excitement. We can have that horse that we get really, really excited about.
Nicely named for a horse to cheer for, I guess, for the public, Fangirl. So there you go.
Absolutely. And as we go on to that, we go for another short price favourite. Let's quickly run over the two-year-old. So obviously in the Skyline, we've got the $1.30 pop Storm Boy. Did he just win?
Did he just win? $1.30, you know, gee, I've seen a few $1.30 shots get beat this week. Not to say Storm Boy will. I mean,
it happens.
It does happen. But everything that we've seen from this horse, like, no horse has got within a couple of lengths of him yet.
Yeah.
I would imagine from barrier one, assuming he breaks with them and he's jumped fine on every occasion so far, that J-Mac just takes the race.
Yep.
Hits to the front and says, you know, are you good enough to beat me? And forget the fact that he's Golden Slipper favourite at the moment, because that race is completely different.
Yep.
16 horses around Rose Hill at 1,200 metres.
You can't be too slow out where you draw all the... Yeah.
If you tell me he draws barrier 5 or 6, you know, in the Golden Slipper, well then, yes, he's probably entitled to be a very short price favourite, assuming he gets through this race unscathed, and he probably should.
Yeah, I agree. Look... Again, not being Einstein, but I think the $1.30, there's every chance you could mark him shorter. Just what he did in that race, the Gold Coast, the attributes of a two-year-old, he was half a stride slow out there and he had to be ridden up. He always faced the breeze in a fast pace. But the bit I really like is just the way he responds under pressure. In that final 200 metres, he actually was just pulling away from them again. So absorbed the tempo. Went through the line full of energy, smashed the clock, margins were good. His trial the other day was only a plus. The other horse, again, I'm just trying to look for different ways to look at a race, is Juvana. I really like this horse. It's probably not tomorrow. I think it's more like a champagne type in time. So it's probably the one to follow out of the race for me, obviously, apart from Storm Boy, all roads ahead to the Golden Slipper.
The one I found interesting was Parkour.
Yeah.
Now, he won at Randwick a couple of weeks before the Magic Millions and was headed up there. And he was, I can't remember where he was in the market, but he was certainly in the top three or four in the betting on the back of that, you know, really big win over the 1200 at Randwick. He didn't contest that race. In the end, he's been, you know, off the scene, back with a trial. Look, I just don't know where he fits in.
Yeah.
You know, you would have liked to have seen him match up against Storm Boy on the Gold Coast. And you'd have that answer already. But I put him in for second just on that sort of, just that little question mark.
Fair enough. Let's move to the other two-year-old, Sweet Embrace Stakes. I'll let you talk about Manal, Ray.
Yeah, look, I won't go too far into it because I've got her marked as my best on the day. I think that what we saw from her in the Widden is enough to suggest that she's more than likely got this field covered.
Yeah.
Her run there was excellent going back in a race that Lady of Camelot not only controlled but also ran them along.
Mm.
And we saw her come out and run a big second in the Blue Diamond last
Very
week.
Very brave second.
Yeah, it was huge. now, Manal has drawn a lot better this time. She's drawn barrier 6 again, but 6 in a field of 13 at the moment is a lot better than 6 in a field of 7. I'd imagine she's right on the back of these, and with nothing obvious there to break them up, I just thought that she lands closer than she has, and she gets over the top of them.
Yep, won the Jim Crackle debut. I think the first out run was very solid. You look at the market right at the death, it was 6.50 out to 9.50. So that probably just said she was always going to improve from the run. And then breaking down her sectional, she sprinted a very sharp 600 to 200 out of the whole entire meeting. And I know she kept coming on the line visually, but she did peak late against the entire, relative to the rest of the meeting. So two big factors for me that says she's only going to come on from that. And she comes on from that, which we're both suspecting she will. She's awfully hard to beat, as you said, with the map. I think she's one of the better bets of the day. I wouldn't surprise me if she starts odds on. I think there might be a good push for her with the lead of Lady of Camelot being fancied in a blue diamond, because that was a very strong race they're coming out of. Let's go to head-to-head. Obviously, will be the surround stakes. Learning to Fly, Komochi come up against each other again. Very different opinions here. How did you see this one? Because you could go a few different ways. There's different form lines like Macarena, Tropical Squalls, Adozi, the Oaks winner coming back. Did you go to the Light Fingers form reference, or did you look elsewhere?
I ended up looking elsewhere.
Yep.
Now, as far as the two horses we're pitting against each other go, Learning to Fly, I was with her in the Light Fingers.
Yep.
And like a lot of people, I thought she had Komochi cold. Yes. It was a good ride by Chad Schofield. He offset the wide barrier. He rode her for a bit of luck. He got the luck at the right time. I thought he got out in plenty of time. For Learning to Fly to run down Komochi, but Komochi got an easy enough run for a change in a race and was able to fight her off. Now, I was with Komochi pretty much all the way through the Princess Series in the spring, and she just kept running second.
And then she beat you the other day.
Yeah. As far as the head-to-head goes, I've probably got Learning to Fly getting the better of Komochi again, but I just wonder whether Tropical Squall is the horse to beat.
Yep.
Now, she won that Flight Stakes back on Epsom Day, leading all the way over the mile. She ran third in the T-Rose after leading and obviously took improvement for that. She's first up into this race. She's had a couple of trials. I thought she trialled quite well behind Aft Cabin. The other day, we know how this race is going to pan out for her. Barrier 2, she will most likely lead. There doesn't look to be a lot of horses that will want to put pressure on, depending on what they want to do with Macarena from the outside gate.
I think they have to go forward on Macarena.
They probably have to, although they...
they got Tim Clark on it. I suspect they'd go forward.
They probably have to. Look, they were conservative in the Eskimo Prince, so we'd expect a change of tactics notice if they are going to go forward, so keep an eye out for that. But, look, I just thought Tropical Squall has been... I think it's been set to strike first up in this Group 1.
It's got a good record in this race, Gay. It's won it four times.
Gay's got a good record in the lot of Randwick miles.
Yeah.
So, look, that's the way I lent. I just... Look, it wouldn't surprise me if the Light Fingers form is the way to go. Tis Invincible comes through that race as well. But I just thought that Tropical Squall was probably the way to go at a little bit of value... $6 or $7, just knowing what I'm going to get.
Yeah, I'm with the Light Fingers form reference. They ran good time that day. I liked the margin to third. So on the head-to-head battle, I actually like both runners. With that said, the leaning towards, I'm going with Learning to Fly, who had over 300 days off, and the market, if she drew the widest gate, the market was still happy to send her out favourite. Great ride by Chad Schofield, restrained her from the wide draw, went back to last and hunted up along the fence and got the good run through. With that said, though, she's the one who had to use all her energy mid-race while the others are, you know, just conserving there, just bowling along in their action, where she's the one who's had to find that push out on the turn. I thought she sprinted really hard, and I agreed. I thought she was going to win for sure and just peaked late there. And you can see that visually and her sectional. So I think from the softer gate, she can settle that bit closer, not have to do as much work. Look, she has to get the 14 for the first time, but I think she's a really nice horse and a real improving type. So I'm happy to be with her around the, was it $3.10 at the moment? And with that said, I think Komochi... Yeah, better on its merits there last start. But with $6.50, it's they're starting to be too far apart, so I could easily back both or at least save on Komochi. So they really stood out for me, those two coming through that form reference. I quite like that form reference. But I can see the angle with Tropical Squall and Macarena. But with that said, Learning to Fly goes on top for me. All right, let's move to Over the Odds out of the whole entire program.
That is a tough one. Over the Odds, given that we've said there's a lot of
shorties
or firm favourites here. I've really struggled to find one that's over the odds, to be honest, Nick. Look,
I've got one.
Go for it.
Midway.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah, good way to start. And I think we'll get the cash, $7 or $8. Mad Darcy.
Yeah, got to agree.
I think first up win. I think this horse, firstly, it's just a completely different horse, this preparation. So great win there first up at Gosford, won easy. Now, went to the straight to midway grade at this track, Randwick over 1,000 metres. Completely wasn't suited to how the race was run. Accelerated hard, ran the fastest last six of the day. I think getting out to the 11's only a plus. All she has to do is repeat what she's done her last two starts, and she's in the finish, without a doubt. So I think around that $7, $8 mark, we can start the day. I know the midway's always hard, but we're getting a fair enough price to find out. Obviously, Marshall Music comes through the same race. Just a big query on its second up form.
Yeah, it seems to be. Yeah, it seems to be two of him.
Yeah, it seems to be. He just flies fresh and then just falls off a cliff second up. But with that said, the market will tell you the story on that horse. Vindication's obviously trialled up really well. But Mad Darcy, third up, can only go on with it. Good bet, I reckon, around the $7, $8 mark.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with that. It's really a matter of that midway being the form. There is a few horses that it's got that have previous midway form resuming into this race that are interesting.
Yep.
But you're right, Mad Darcy was excellent first up and backed it up.
Yeah.
So I think we can trust her, that form, and that she will turn the tables on Marshall Music. Now, if that's good enough to win the race, we'll find out.
All right, under the odds?
I'm going to go to Redstone Well.
Yes, good.
I like that.
Yeah, it can win, I agree, but was it 270, 280?
Yeah, look, it's got a little bit. I mean, everyone's been waiting for this horse to get to 2,000 metres, which it does. Look, it's beaten the Stadio Mestalla, receiving a kilo off that horse over the Randwick Mile. Beat it by just under half a length. It cops 2.5 kilos for that win. Miracle Spin was in that race as well, as were a few of the others. Miracle Spin carried 56.5, so it was in receipt of half a kilo. It's now in receipt of 3.5 kilos. And it gets barrier one. So I don't think it's cut and dry with Redstone Well. I think he's short, as short as he should be. He did start...
$7.
Yeah. So... I thought he was unders. I do say, you know, like you say, he can certainly win the race, but I think there are other options as well.
Yeah, I was with Redstone Well last start, but now just looking at the 290, and I think the weight has to cut. And I agree, he's been looking for the 2,000, but 290, it's really well found. I'll get to Miracle Spin a bit later on. My under the odds and probably playing with a bit of fire here is our Kobe Son, who did break the track record last start. I just thought Moravia, it's weighted right up to this, but did start $3.50 against the likes of Celestial Legend, Tom Kitten. It's a very strong form reference. Cabalus, who ended up winning that race, who's going to start probably favourite down in Melbourne. So it's a good form reference, this SP, that price. But with that said, it was a bit of a weird one because I think he needed the run. Just the way he travelled up and loomed, and then when Tommy Berry asked him, he wasn't really there for him, and he battled on... Okay, but the one thing I like is the gear change. So they changed up his gear. Happy to be with him around the 420. And even Peril, or is it Parade? Peril, either or. I think he's the other one around the $7 mark that you could have something on, who won really well there at Moonee Valley. So
that's
my angle. Just a couple of bets around our Kobe Son, who I just thought was well found at $1.90.
I'm not tipping against our Kobe Son because I just think he's the horse that we still don't know how good he is. I mean, Moravia probably falls into that category a little bit as well. He is a three-year-old colt. Maybe the colt aspect of it is his problem.
Yeah. Well, I was I was keen to bet right up on him in the last race.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I just wonder whether, I mean, I know when you've got a talented three-year-old colt, yeah, you'll want to see if they can get that group one for the stallion profile, but I wouldn't be, look, if he doesn't win this race, wouldn't be surprised if we next see him as a gelding.
Yeah, that's a fair enough.
If not this preparation,
next
preparation. But, yeah, look, I can see that our Kobe son, you know, $1.90 coming off a track record or thereabouts. Look, problem is James McDonald's in the saddle, so he's going to be popular.
Yeah.
I can't see a massive drift
coming. No, I can't. Yeah.
No. Unless he comes into the yard and does something untoward. So, yeah, that's going to be very interesting. Yeah, Nick, but look, I can see why, you know, he'd be a horse that you'd want to take on a little bit, given that tough run.
Just a couple of specs around him. I don't want to get too involved because I think he's a really nice horse. But if there's a price to be bet around, I'm happy to do so. Out wide, favorite segment of the week.
Well, I've been doing the form for Maruya for the country championships on Sunday, so I'll go there as I did last week with Amaji and
had a nice winner there too.
Less lockdown gamble. Look, I think the logical best at Maruya on Sunday is in race 4, number 9, Wall's Angels. Trained by Nick Olive, was narrowly beaten in a maiden at Albury on their country championships day. When specced in the betting, gets barrier 1, a little bit of extra fitness and a race with no depth. So he runs up to that first up run. I think he wins, but we'll look at the country championships race for the Southeast. And I had a lot of trouble with this race.
Yeah, I just saw where you turned your page to.
I think there are three. I think there are three winning chances, and the market has them thereabouts. Yeah. Bandy's Boy, I think, is the most talented horse in the race.
Yeah,
I'm not sure he's had the most ideal build-up, given he had a little setback after his first up win. Mm. But his run at Rosa last Saturday was excellent with 60.5. He gets in with 56. He's got a wide barrier, but that may not be a bad thing for him because he wants cover and to attack them in the last 200 metres.
Yeah.
I'm frightened of Atmospheric Rock, the stable mate, because he has had the perfect preparation.
Yeah.
He's won a highway. His run behind Belvedere Boys in the highway last week was very good. He's drawn ideally for a change.
Mm.
And obviously Zuadika is the other horse coming off a Maruya Cup win back into the Class 5 of the country championships. Didn't love his recent trial, but you got to bank on his race form. So Bandy's Boy there, he's the favourite. It'll be interesting to see if he drifts or if he remains solid because he clearly has the best form in the race. So Bandy's Boy, the selection, but I think Danny Williams will be the trainer to beat, I guess. We've had a few Quinellas in the country championships recently. Yeah. Mark Quinn at Tuncurry, Matthew Dunn at Grafton. There's a fair chance Danny Williams could go 1-2 here. He has trifected a country championships race in the past.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be trifecta in this one because his third run is an emergency.
Yeah.
So that's the way I've gone there. The best is in race 4, though, number 9 at Maruya.
My out wide, I quite like this bet. $6.50, race 5 at Newcastle, number 14, She's Got Verve. Now, I liked this runner a couple of weeks ago, but they couldn't have gone any slower, possibly, in the maiden over the 1,600 metres at Newcastle. They went so slow, just had too much to do, was completely unsuited, and its run was a lot better than meets the eye. Third up now, 1,600 metres again, it's only a plus, back to a drier track, I think, so another tick. I think around the $6.50 is a really good each-way bet. With that said, I'm going to probably just back it for the win, Ray. And if I'm right, I want to get paid.
Happy days.
I want to get paid. So, best bets across the whole weekend.
I'm going to come up with two best bets for Randwick, mainly because one of them's borderline even money, as Manal, as we've touched on already. I think she's well-suited and probably the second best filly heading towards the slipper. Like that'll be decided, I guess, when she matches up with Lady of Camelot again. The other one will go to the highway. I like Perennial in the highway. Aaron Bullock is a little bullish about this horse. I had a good chat with Aaron yesterday, and you know, he was keen to stick with Perennial.
Yeah, nice horse.
But he wanted to stick with Harvey Time as well in the Provincial Midway qualifying race at Newcastle, and he's getting the best of both worlds because the highway's 4 hours before the provincial midway race, so he's able to do both.
Yep.
I love the way this race sets up for Perennial. There's good speed here over the 1,000. He's looked strong at the end of his 900-metre wins, all three of them, and the form around one of them has been sensational with a heap of winners coming out of it. I think he draws to Stork, and he has to be strongest at the finish here. I just can't see the leaders holding on unless we have a few surprise scratching. So race three, number two, and race six, number one.
Yeah, two for me as well. I'm going to go around the $6 mark. Race five, number eight, I'm with you with Miracle Spin. Now, this horse, it failed down in Melbourne, then had a trial where I thought it trialled up really well, and it was just days between runs. I'll just quickly get it up here. How many days? So it was 35 days between runs. It was a high-pressure race, but I still think it hit the line well enough to top it off to get it right back to its peak. And then you really isolate 2,000-metre runs, and they've probably been its two career peaks. Obviously, one of them has come at Randwick over that 2,000 metres. We're only beaten a pimple by Naval College. Barrier one, Jason Collett goes back on, who has a really good record on this horse. He's ridden it five times, two wins and a second. I just think around the $5.50, $6 is just a really good bet to find out. Happy to be with it. And obviously, as I said before, race five, number 14, She's Got Verve at Newcastle, I think's really hard to beat. If you want a shorty, race four, number five, Wiremark, but it's quite well found now. But they're my two best. So Newcastle, race five, number 14, and Randwick, race five. I'll keep number eight, Miracle Spin. All right, I finally got that out. Yep. Good luck to everyone having a bet tomorrow, and looking forward to tomorrow's meeting.